Let me just pray before we start. Yes, Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've created. And Lord, we thank you for this church and your church, Lord. And we thank you for the folks that come here week by week faithfully. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us over the years and guiding us through various things. And we're here today, Lord, and we want to look to the future and to see what you have in store for us. And we look forward in anticipation and with excitement that what you'll have, what you'll do within the church and within each one of our lives. Just guide us, Lord. Give us that wisdom to know the way forward in your will. For we ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to have a quick look, a recap of the various statements that we have here at Clyde Valley Community Church. And I got Russell just to put them in your order of service, so you've got them to hand. So we're just going to review those. It's good to look at them every now and again and just remind ourselves of what they mean. So firstly is our vision statement. And this statement, it gets revamped from time to time, but basically says the same kind of thing each time. And it's, we don't just make these things up. They do come from the Bible. And this statement is generated from a couple of verses in the New Testament, the first chapter of the New Testament, which is Matthew. And there's two verses in there. One's called, they're generally referred to as the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And we take our vision statement out of these verses. So these are the actual words of Jesus speaking. And this first one here is the Great Commandment. And it comes in Matthew 22. Around the other way on your order of service, but the bottom one there, Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40. And this, just to set the scene a wee bit, this was after a day that Jesus was teaching folks around about, as he did. Crowds would follow him, and during that day, the Pharisees, and you know, the religious teachers of the time, were on his case and trying to trip him up with fancy questions or tricky questions. But Jesus, in his wisdom, gave them really good answers to these questions. And if you read Matthew 22, you'll hear about things like, you know, they're talking about taxes. Should we pay our taxes to the Rome? And it gives them a good answer. You know, whose head's on the Roman coin? Caesar. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. And after questions like that, the people began to say, this is a very wise person, this is a wise teacher. They didn't recognize him as the Son of God at this point. So someone piped up at the end of that and said, teacher, I don't think this was a trick question, this was just a question from the crowd. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And that's what I was thinking about. What a great question. You know, if we were there ourselves, or if Jesus was here today, you know, what question would we want to ask Jesus? And you know, I was thinking about it even with the disciples that lived with him for the 2 or 3 years. Probably didn't ask them any deep questions like that. They were more interested in who's going to be first when they get to heaven, what seat are they getting next to Jesus, and all that kind of stuff. But this person asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And Jesus just throws in a second one for good measure. And just to make clear and make sure there's no doubt, the second one is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. He says, all the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And they're just it's just such a great verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, and all your mind. I'm sure we could preach a message, or someone could preach a message on just that verse alone. I'm not going to today. But just think about those verses. You know, sometimes they might be familiar to you, that verse, but read through it and just, what does it actually mean? What does all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, what does that actually mean? What's the implications of loving your neighbour as yourself? And who exactly is our neighbour anyway? So it's maybe something that you can take away, and maybe it's a study for our small group or our home groups that you can look at. But great verse. The second verse is normally referred to as the Great Commission. And just to set the scene for this verse, this is after Christ has been crucified, he's been buried in the tomb for 3 days, and he's risen again. And he asked the disciples to meet him at a specific place, a hill outside Galilee. And so these are some of the last recorded words of Jesus. Again, it's the words of Jesus. And so the 11 disciples, they went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Even at that time, some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So, our vision statement there at the top says, our vision is to be a church community who worship wholeheartedly. That's the love of the Lord your God. That comes from that verse. Serve sacrificially. That's serving others. Loving your neighbor. Telling others about Jesus enthusiastically. Comes from the second one. Go and make disciples of all. Create community. That's getting people into the family, if you like, and the family of God, and baptizing them into that family. And develop people effectively is the last part, which is teaching them all the things that Jesus had commanded them to do. So, that's a brief recap of the vision statement. The mission statement is, when I was at work, when I used to work, don't work anymore. We had all these, probably the same at work, you know, we've got all these kind of statements, mission statements and value statements and all the rest. And unfortunately, we do the same thing in church. And yeah, they're good to have and they're good to put down. But a lot of them say the same thing, and they all basically read back into the vision statement. So the mission statement is, we are on a mission with God. And we could stop there. That's it. We're on a mission with God. With God, because we can't do it in our own strength. So we're on a mission with God. To love and restore people back to him. And that ties back in with the vision statement about bringing others to Christ. Yeah, just as telling others about Jesus enthusiastically. So we unapologetically, I knew when I wrote that down I'd never be able to say it, unapologetically, that's good, state that we are on a mission with God to love and restore people back to him. It's one of the reasons we're here. And to work for good in the community. That's the last wee bit. And that's loving your neighbour. Wherever God has placed us, in our workplace or our our home area, or leisure area, whatever leisure area you frequent, gyms or whatever. That's everybody you come into contact. That's your neighbour. And these are the people that come in under our influence that we can affect. People that come across in our path. Love them unconditionally as Christ loved you. It says in John chapter 13, again, these are the words of Jesus. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I loved you. Sorry, let me read that again. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples or followers of Christ. That love thing keeps coming in again and again and again. See if we could get that right. Loving each other, loving our neighbour. It would be wonderful. So that's the mission statement. The ethos statement is basically describes the church, our church, and it says basically the same thing. We are a Jesus-centered, Bible-believing, contemporary, purpose-focused, leadership-led, independent church with the mission and aim to reach people outside the church and bring them to a knowledge of Christ. You could take all that stuff in the middle out and just say, we are a Jesus-centered, Bible-believing church that want to bring people to the knowledge of Christ. All the wee middle bit is just how we try to do it, go about it. And these things will change over time and over the years. We call ourselves, the word contemporary is in there, and contemporary means occurring in the present, or another word for that is modern, being modern. But what's modern today is not modern tomorrow. Things go out of date so quickly. So we need to continually change and keep up as well. But although things might change in that statement, the Bible-believing, Jesus-centred bit doesn't change. That'll be constant. How we try to win people over to Christ, we'll have different ways of doing that over time. One kind of example of that, I was thinking, just how things do change, is even in our worship songs that we sing. The songs we sing today, we don't sing many songs from, say, 20 years ago, say. Although there are some songs, I know there are some classics that span the decades, for sure. But a lot of the songs 20 years ago seem a bit old hat today. And if we do them, we probably do them with a slightly different style. And I'm sure in 20 years' time, the songs we sing today will be sound old-fashioned or to the people of that time. But that time, I'll be pushing off the daisies. 64, 74, 84, maybe, I don't know. Okay, that's the ethos statement. The values, and I'm not going to say much about these, they're in your sheet, they're in there. Again, you can have a look at them. The talk back into the vision statement, I just picked out a couple there, no, the first couple, grace and truth, welcoming and accepting. And we have a few sayings here at CVCC. One is, come as you are. And another one is, no perfect people allowed. So that's the kind of thing that we want people to know us for. Come as you are. That's how we want to be known for. Accepting folks, loving them, and praying that the truth of Christ and the Bible will speak into their lives through the messages we have and through God's Spirit, and that their lives will be changed. So again, I hope you see a kind of similarity in all these things. The last value there was reaching out and inviting people in. And again, that is making disciples of people. We have a picture model of our population in the area, and we call it the circles of commitment. Don't know if we've got a, have we got a, yeah, something like that. You can go on the internet and find hundreds of these circles, different ways. But basically, this is how we look at the world, if you like. And our world is what we can influence, what the church can influence. So the community on the outside there is, I don't know, is it a 5-mile radius, a 10-mile radius? I'm probably further than 10 miles, so it's even wider than that. But it's that circle of influence of people that we can influence. That's the community. No, it's Hamilton, Wishaw, Motherwell, Belsall, Airdrie, wherever else you come from. That's our community. The crowd, the next one in, is people that we can affect directly. And it's maybe people that have been to church, they've maybe come along, maybe by invitation of things that we have brought them along to, burn suppers or men's evenings and that kind of thing. And they may come to the church periodically. Congregation, the next one down, is really the members. Member starts with an M, so they couldn't use that one. They had to use congregation. It's an old word, but that's basically the folk. And committed is really, once folk become members, we're looking for people to become more committed, get involved in ministries within the church, and become more involved in the whole process. The core is usually for full-time pastors, and that's the kind of explanation for the core. So all our ministries that we have support one or more of these kind of areas, and we're looking to all the areas of our ministries and how they affect us and how we can do things better, more efficiently. So I'm going to ask Elaine to come up and maybe take us through the next little bit.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. So Jim's went over our statements and things that we've put in place as a leadership team that apply to the church. But you know, it's dead easy to have all these statements and not really just they're just there, and it's very easy just not to be working towards them and to actually practically putting them into place. So as a leadership team, we do aim to meet a couple of times a year. As we call it our vision day, and we get together. And we read the scriptures, we spend time together, we pray together. These dates are usually in our diary in advance, so we know about it, and we're thinking about the church and how we're doing things. So on the 3rd of August, we had our most recent Vision Day, and we got together, and we looked back over the last 6 months of Clyde Valley Community Church and sort of just reviewed and recapped what we've been doing and how it fits in to what we've, our vision statements and what we've talked about with those circles. I think I've got a diagram of circles as well, do I? Because it's maybe slightly different worded. Nope, there's not another one, a blue one. Nope. Yep. There we go. So we looked at that. And we reviewed it over compared it to the vision statement, and we looked at the church and how we fit into our different ministries fit into these statements. So we numbered it 1 to 5 to make it easy. And then if we go into the next slide, you'll see all the different ministries. But before we talk about them, we wanted to say we're not out there grabbing people in and forcing them through this process. You know, faith is a journey. We're all on a journey, getting closer to God, learning how to serve God better, learning how to reach better. And really, as a church, we're here to equip people, to encourage people to come in, to hear about God, to give their life to God, and from that point forward, just to grow in Him and to learn how to serve Him better. So it is a circle from the outside, from the community, all the way into the core. And with that in mind, we have actually got a day one sign-up sheet, because you might say, well, you know, I've been coming to this church for a while, and I'm wanting to get involved, but I'm not too sure how to go about it. So our day one is a part of our Design for Life course. So if you've been coming to church and you think, you know, I want to find out more about Clyde Valley, what's it all about? I'd maybe even like to be a member of Clyde Valley, then can I encourage you to come and to our day one session? We're going to be holding this fairly soon. So we've put a sign-up sheet up the back. We haven't set a date, because what we're going to do is wait till people sign up, and then we'll approach those people and find out when would the best date be, so that everybody who wants to attend can attend. So that's part of the journey. But on this slide here, what we did at our vision day was we listed all the ministries, or sort of grouped them all together, so you can see them all down there. And then we put the areas that come from the circle, the faith journey that we're all on, and we looked at where the ministries at the moment are best serving those groups of people. So if we take a couple of examples, like Children's Church, for example, we serve the core, the committed, the congregation. So basically on a Sunday, we're reaching those people and through the children's ministry. CPR, we talked about, again, we pray for and we support and help people through difficult times. So that would be the core, the committed, the congregation, and also context. Sometimes our friends, we pray for friends, people out with church that we know about that are going through difficult times. And as a church, we want to support your friends and your family and pray for your friends and family, their needs, and support them. Some things like the Alpha course, they're reaching the contacts and the community. That's something that we support as a church. We've been doing it the last 3 years, and it's a great tool to be able to, people who are maybe out there, don't go to church, but sort of asking the big questions about life. And it's good to be able to run those courses and be able to share with them and allow them in a safe place to ask all the questions, no questions off limit in Alpha, and to be able to share questions. So we did that. But if you go to the next slide, you can see that we put quite a lot of question marks, because there's quite a lot of our ministries and therefore us as a church, because the ministries are all part of the church. And perhaps I should just say at this point in time, a big thank you to those who are involved in ministries. A lot of hard work goes on behind the scenes in this church week after week. There's ministry leaders who are inspiring their teams to work really hard and to serve all the different areas in Clyde Valley Community Church. And it doesn't go unnoticed. We really appreciate it. There's only four of us in the leadership team. We're without a pastor just now, and without your help and support as ministry teams and leaders, we couldn't do this. So a big, big thank you to you all. But we do recognise that there's maybe weaknesses within us, and that we're not really reaching our community. We're quite good at putting things on. We're fairly good at inviting our friends and our contacts to come in. But it seems to all be about coming in, come to our events. And I think as a leadership team, we're now at the stage where we think, you know, maybe we should be going out into the environment, going out into the community. This is different from the contacts, the community that you have. You've got your own personal communities. But as a collective church, maybe we need to be thinking a wee bit more about going out into our communities. So what we're planning to do is, the leadership team are planning to meet with the ministry leaders, just get together, have some food. We always have food. Every time we meet, we have food. It's a good way just to relax in each other's company and just talk over ideas. As ministry groups, what could you do? Maybe it means ministries joining together to do something in the community. Maybe it means ministries singly doing something together. There's some ministries that are not designed to go out into the community, and that is fine. But the ones with the question marks are the ones that we've thought there's a potential there to do things in our community, just to take church out there, so that we're not a church that's all within these walls, but we're a church with no walls. And that we go out there and we're visible and we're loving people and we're sharing God's love in practical ways, but also just when we get that opportunity, just telling people about Jesus. A little verse just to finish with, and it's John chapter 12 and verse 32. And this verse was when Jesus was going to the cross, and he said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to me." We can't do any of this without God's Spirit and without God in our life. And as a church, that's what we want to do. We want to take Jesus out to our community, and we want to lift him up. Let people see his love for them, his acceptance for them through us, and to love people and to tell them when we get that opportunity about Jesus. Laura's going to come now. Oh, no, is it Jim? Who's next? Jim, you're next. Where's Jim? It's Trevor first.
This is me as me. Thanks, Elaine. Elaine maybe covered a few bits that I was going to just speak to here. As you can see, there's many ministries within our church, and we're not a big church, so it's just amazing how many ministries that we can support with the number of folks that we have. But even having said that, there may be other areas, other ministries that we're not supporting, and you might be sitting there with a real passion for something, and God's put it on your heart to be involved in something, maybe something we don't do. If that's the case, come and speak to us, and we'll see how it fits into our whole vision and things. And even if it's an existing ministry that you want to be involved in, you know, again, come and speak to us. There's usually... Well, there's not usually sign-up sheets, but sometimes we put sign-up sheets for various things coming up. So all these ministries go on week by week in the church, and as Elaine says, we thank you all very much for all the work, the hard work that you put in and the time to make church happen here. But I'd just like to focus on two or three of them, and maybe over... different periods, we will put a focus on specific ministries. And maybe over the next few months, these are just three that we will kind of give a little bit of focus to. Elaine's already mentioned the Alpha. Now, that's a ministry that only happens once a year at the moment. And we usually put a team together for that event. And I know that some people have done it before, and some people have already expressed an interest in Alpha. There may be others who would like to be involved in the Alpha this year. So again, just let us know. But also, Alpha only works if we get people along to it. And we should really be thinking now about folks in our lives, that crowd we're talking about, the people that we come across, people that we can influence, might be family members, might be neighbours, people we work with. But we should be thinking about that just now and who we can invite along to this year's Alpha. So I'll leave that with you, and you can pray about it in your own time. And if God's put a name in your heart, and it's hard sometimes to go and ask someone, but if God's challenging you and put a name in your heart, do it. Just ask. You can only say no. And they might surprise you and say yes and come along. And there's people sitting in here today because of Alpha. So it does work. It's a great tool. So have a think about that. The other couple of areas that we were thinking about was the welcome and hospitality. I think it was number one up in the list there. And you might think, why are you welcoming hospitality? That's a strange thing. It's critical. It's so important for us, the whole welcome and hospitality. And I'm not just talking about the folks in the door. It's a whole process. People that come through this door, and I meant to say earlier on, no, I apologise, if there are any visitors here today and this... it sounds very inward-looking or very much about the church, I do apologise. But I would ask you, if you're a visitor with us, fill in that little blue card and tell us about your experience being here today, because we want to learn and we want to improve that experience for new people coming through the doors. So there's people already involved in that ministry, and I'm sure they're always looking for more. But we'll probably be sitting down with these folks and trying to come up with ideas about how to improve that first-time experience with people coming through our doors. People will decide in their own mind, within minutes of coming through those doors if they're going to come back here. And it's how they're received and if they feel safe. And we think we're a friendly church, but no, we should look that a wee bit deeper into that. How friendly are we? Friendly to each other, but how friendly are we to folks, strangers that come in through the doors? And if you're a stranger here this morning, welcome. And the final area was, I've just said media, and there's, again, there's a few folks involved in various media stuff within the church. But again, it's an area that we want to give some concentrate on over the next little while, just to make the church more visible to the community. We're in this building, which is in a kind of funny place in Motherwell. Probably nobody knows we're actually here. So over the next period, we'd like to get a little team together just to look at how we present ourselves to the community, you know, be it Facebook, web pages, and all the other things I don't know about because I'm an old guy. But as I said, as time goes on, things are developing all the time, and there's ways of promoting ourselves within the community, just to let people know that we're here. And it'd be good for people to know we're here because of the work that we do within the community. And that's another area for sure that we want to look at. So I'm going to hand over to Laura, isn't it? Right. And she's going to take us through this is the last little bit, the pastor recruitment, where we are with that, and one other item, I believe. Okay.
Thanks, Tim. Okay, yeah, I'm sure, well, Elaine did mention earlier, so we have been without a pastor for since the beginning of the year, really. And I'm sure most of you who are coming here regularly are sitting there asking the question about what's going to happen with regards to a new pastor. So I'm just going to give you a bit of an update as to what we have been doing with regards to pastor recruitment over the last 6 months, really. We have had adverts out for a pastor's post since March of this year. And I'm just going to give you some statistics in terms of what the responses look like in relation to those adverts. So we had adverts out in about 4 or 5 different places. And in that time, we have sent out 49 application packs to anyone who's put forward an inquiry about the post. And that consisted of a job description and an application form. Out of those 49 application packs that were issued, we've received 15 applicants or applications back from that. And, you know, I'd just like to say a big thank you to our recruitment team at this point. Our recruitment team is made up of Colin Pearson, John Gallen, Kevin Simpson, and Trevor and myself as representatives of the leadership team. And they have reviewed every single one of the application forms that we have received, and there's been discussions around each of those. And, you know, it's great to have the input from the wider church in that and to support us with that. At this point in time, there's a couple of candidates that we're actually meeting as a team after church today, and there's a couple of candidates that we're still reviewing. But at this moment in time, there's no applicants that were actively progressing further at this stage. But as I say, we are meeting again today, and we will be looking at whether we need to review the application pack, do we need to look at the job description again, we need to be looking at whether we can formalise some of the documentation for the recruitment team to use. And that's all things that we've learned through this first 6 months of the process. And we will be looking to re-advertise the post again and continuing with that process. So we will continue to keep you informed of when we actually go to advertise again and of any sort of material change in the process. And I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank you for your continued support of the leadership team and of the recruitment team as well as we continue in this season without a pastor. And we would just like to ask you to continue to pray for us as a church and as a leadership team and a recruitment team as this process continues. So thank you. And as Elaine had shared, and Jim, as we talked through all of our various ministries, you know, we really hope to focus, and Jim's just mentioned sort of three ministries there. We want to focus on those three particular areas over the next 3 to 6 months, because we recognise that, you know, we have so many ministries in the church which are running, which are great. However, we are only a small number of people who can be committed to that. And we can't do it all at once. So we've met and decided that the best thing we can do is really focus in on those three key areas over the next 3 to 6 months so that we can actually see some change and development and growth in those areas. And I think we all agree that we want to support our community, and that is referring back to our vision statement and our value statements. We want to be reaching our community through the work that we do. And as I've just been sharing with you, the response rate to a pastor's role, it's not a process that we can hurry, and we very much need to trust God's timing in that. But that said, we still want to grow as a church during this season without a pastor. We've got so many excellent ministries in our church, and so many of you serve faithfully. But I think we are aware of our limitations also as a leadership team, as a church community, in terms of our time and our expertise in manpower. Most of us are working or involved in lots of other things, and there's only so much that we can do. So I want to just share with you an opportunity that we've been provided with just over the last few months. Eric Parker, you may have heard Eric speak a few weeks ago, but Eric, along with his wife Rina, have been coming along to CVCC over the last few months. And Eric has been a pastor and in ministry for 25 years, and he has a lot of experience in building and planting churches, and also working with church leaders internationally. Eric has recently moved back to Scotland, and he feels called to use his expertise and his experience to work with local churches and their leaders. So a few months ago, Eric introduced himself to us as he felt that he could help us as leaders and also as a church. So after using the summer months as a leadership team really to pray for God's guidance and direction, we as a team really believe that Eric can help us in this season that we're in. So we've offered Eric a 12-month contract to come and work with us a few days a week. And primarily this will be to support the leadership team, support and mentor the leadership team. As I say, there is only four of us. We do want to grow as a church, and we want to grow as leaders as well. In addition to that, he's also going to be organising and leading Alpha. As Elaine said, this is a ministry, or sorry, it might have been Jim, but one of us had said that this is a ministry that we have ran for the last few years now. It's been really successful. It's been a great opportunity to get out into the community and just to share about the love of God and to allow people to ask those questions. So that's something as a church that we really strongly believe we want to be able to continue. But again, from a resource perspective, that's not an easy feat for us. So Eric will be supporting us with that. And then in addition to that, we're also looking to run, you might have seen on the list up there, a SumGum study. Now, this was before my time at this church, but really what that is an opportunity for people to dig deeper. So those of us who maybe want to find out more, dig deeper into the Bible, learn more about God, then that's an opportunity for that as well. And we hope to run that this into the early part of next year. And then in addition to that, it's going to be busy, we also want to just use his expertise and his knowledge, really, to help us with different activities and programmes out in the community, and just for us to help promote our church and help grow our church and our local community. So employing Eric is in no way a replacement to recruiting a pastor. As I said before, that process will absolutely continue, and that will remain a real focus for us as a leadership team and recruitment team. But we do hope that by employing Eric with his expertise and gifting, that we can really continue to progress and grow as a church. So I'm just going to ask Eric to come up and introduce himself. I'm conscious that some of you may not know who he is. So I'm going to ask him to come up and introduce himself just for a few minutes. I just encourage you to give him a warm welcome and feel free to chat to him after the service. And again, I just want to say that if there's anything that's been discussed today that you want to chat to the leadership team about, then we're always accessible, and I would just encourage you to do that. So thank you. And thank you, Eric.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm really delighted to be able to have this opportunity, which I believe is a God opportunity. We, 2 years ago, even a year ago, could never have dreamt of being here. And circumstances and things happen, and our parents were becoming more frail, and so we came to Scotland. We began to look at what God wanted us to do. God began to open a door, and I want to thank the leadership team here for their faithfulness in pursuing that, and the way that they have just carefully worked it through. We've really been involved in a conversation and a journey that has got to this point. And I believe that there's more to go, there's further to go, but we're just taking it a step at a time, and it's really a step of faith from your leadership. So you've got a great team of leaders. As we've looked at the church, you have wonderful ministries and gifts here. You are so blessed. Yes, you're a small church, but you have real potential to grow. And not just to grow numerically, but to grow spiritually, each individual to grow and to become the person that God wants you to be. God still has work to do in your life, in my life, in our life. I had a friend many, many years ago, I've never forgotten what he said, just a simple thing. He said, "Eric, no one of us is better than all of us." And it's really true. No one of us is better than all of us. And when we can pull together and do things together, and you're obviously, you know, able to do that, the charts, is it possible to put that circle thing back up, the yellow one maybe? It's really just a blessing for me, for myself and Rena, to have been and to observe and to see where you're at in God. But this is the challenge. As I looked at this morning, this is the challenge. The challenge is that actually there should be little arrows that are kind of just progressing from circle to circle to draw in. You need to know, where am I? Where am I on that chart? And my challenge in being with you is to grow specifically the core, and to make that bigger. But that happens not by projecting things outside into it, but by each circle, just people moving from circle to circle and gradually discovering more of God's grace in their own life, more capacity to serve, more capacity to be the person that God has called you to be. And so that's the challenge. However, there's also a difficulty in church life in that people don't just go in one direction. And for churches, we have this dilemma that we occasionally lose people. So we've got people not only coming this way, that's the desire, but sadly, we've got people that kind of go that way. And you can just slip. You can even slip from being heavily involved and really core to just being committed, and then maybe even just becoming part of the congregation, as you see and as you think, oh well, I'll let others take it on, I'll let others say. So lots of challenges. And when we see things like this, and my passion is to encourage, to develop, to help, to strengthen, and to build. And Laura has said, I've been involved in many things. I've been involved in church life, fully employed for the last 25 years, but for maybe 15 years before that, involved in church leadership or life. I began on the road to just being with people, a kind of people person, and I was employed as a psychiatric nurse and worked on the community psychiatric nurse for 10 years. So began to understand a little bit more about people, and then God called me into ministry, and I had 25 years, and we landed up in Tain in the north of Scotland, and then we went to Inverness, and then we ended up in Dover. So for the last 18 years, we've been in Dover. We've raised 3 kids of our own, but over the last 10 years, we've also been involved as foster parents or foster carers for Kent County Council. And we've probably had about 30 children that have been to stay with us for a season of time, mainly little ones. I think little ones I tend to love. Older ones, they're kind of harder to love, aren't they? As they just get older and more kind of like belligerent, and they have something to say. But we've had some wonderful people who have stayed with us, moved on, and we've been really encouraged in all of that. But now we're here, and God has brought us here. I believe God has brought us here. And we want to serve you. We want to serve the church. We want to serve the Lord. Our heart is to serve. We'd love to get to know you, as many of you as possible, all of you, if that's possible. It won't happen this week, but it will happen over a period of weeks. We'll endeavor to be with you most Sundays. Some Sundays, because of other commitments, we won't be able to be here. But our genuine commitment is still with the church. And when we're not here, don't think that we're not thinking and praying and, you know, wanting to be with you. But our difficulty is that sometimes we have to be in other places on a Sunday. But we're desiring to be here. I looked at a little verse this morning just to finish up. And I looked at those verses in Ezekiel chapter 47. Let's see if I can flick to it. Jim is far more adept with one hand than I am. I saw him opening a bottle and drinking out of it with one hand, and I thought, I don't know how he does that. So here we are. This is a passage of scripture you'll know really well. It's about the healing waters, the trees, the temple, the river that flowed. He brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. The front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, led me around on the outside. The outer gate faces east, and there was water running on the right side. When the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000, brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. It shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." And I've underlined that little bit. Everything will live wherever the river goes. And the river flows out of our connection with God. The temple where people meet with God, that meeting place, that encounter, that experience where we connect with the living God, the water begins to be released. And it flows and it begins to flow, and it gets deeper and more challenging, and it flows to areas of death, and it brings life and vitality and health and fruitfulness. And that's what God wants in this community. He wants it from this church. He wants our experience in our encounter time, whether it's our own Bible study or whether it's prayer or whether it's the Sunday morning service or the worship, whatever it is, that connection with God, it produces something, creates something that begins to flow towards the community out of our hearts, out of our experience, that is life-giving. Life-giving. And the first little bit, I'm in danger of preaching. I'm not going to, I promise, right? But let me just say this first little bit is really important. So the angel takes Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel's not just a nobody. He's a main man. He's a leader guy. But it says several times about the angel, and he led me, and he led me, and he led me. And leader guys, leader people, have to have that heart, that willingness to be led, although they are leaders. And Ezekiel, as he was led, he goes to an experience where he's led, and the Bible says 1,000 cubits, so it's a distance. He's led a distance, and then something happens, and he at water up to his ankles. So there's something about his experience which is changing. And then another 1,000 cubits, and it's up to my knees. Again, something is changing. Something is different. The experience, what he's feeling, what he is knowing, is becoming different. And then another 1,000 cubits, and it's wasting. And then another 1,000 cubits. And then another, and every time, the different experience, until he's swimming, and he knows the joy of just absolutely losing himself in the call of God. And our challenge as leaders, as people, to move and to go that distance. And he led me, and he led me, and he led me. And God is asking us today, are we willing to still be led? We talk a lot about leadership, 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 but if you change it, twist it just a little bit, followership is a great thing, to know how to be a follower. Followership. God's challenge for us today is, can he be allowed to lead us as a group of people, to lead us individually into the next, or into the next experience, into the next thing that is for us and for this community? Everything will live wherever the river goes. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come, and we'll worship just before we close. But I just want to pray. Sometimes it's a good thing to stand while we pray. And if you're able to this morning, I'd really like you to stand as I pray, and I'll really pray that God will help us into this next step. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of being able to speak to your people this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you want us to just be able to receive from you again in a fresh way this morning, in a powerful way, in a real way. You want us to know your blessing on our lives. You want us to know your provision, your power. You want us to know your forgiveness that flows, your restoration, your healing. You want us to know that, so that out of our relationship with you, something will flow and be generated that will touch this community, that will touch our families, that will touch this nation. Lord, would you move in a powerful way upon us and among us? Would you help us? Would you help the team, the leadership team, and other leaders in this
Lord, ministry place, this place where we truly connect with one another, but also we connect with you. Would you help us to be able to just join together and be more close together? And as we move forward, that we're not moving forward separate, going different directions, but Lord, we're just hearing your whisper and we're following your voice. My sheep will hear my voice. They will know my voice. Lord, we want to follow your voice. Help us, Lord, with every step that we take. Help us with every move that we make. Help us, Lord, as we grow positively together, Lord. Bless your people here. Bless every family that is represented here today. Bless the extended families of the people that are represented here today. Bring your blessing to us, I pray. And Lord, allow us to know, just to be able to experience just that urgency which you have in your heart, the urgency to be able to just do what you have called us to do. And we ask these things in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen.